If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you, if you would please, to find two passages of Scripture. If you would find Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, which is just after the first book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter 2. If you need a Bible, there's a pew Bible located in front of you in the pew. Feel free to pick it up and use it. Maybe somebody will notice you don't have one and hand it to you. That's just because they love you and appreciate you. Exodus chapter 2 would be on page 37 of that Bible. And then I'd like you to find Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is totally in the back of the New Testament, almost at the very back. If you're using the Black Pew Bible, it's page 731. Page 37 is Exodus. Page 731 would be Hebrews chapter 11. I want to take a few minutes and encourage you today. I want to encourage you on this subject. This is the title of the message: A Faithful Mother in a Frightful World. A faithful mother in a frightful world. A little girl was shown pictures of her mom and dad on their wedding day. Upon looking at these beautiful and gorgeous pictures, she asked her father, "Daddy, is that the day Mom came to work for us?" After dinner one Mother's Day, a mother was washing the dishes with her teenage daughter, wandered into the kitchen. Her daughter came into the kitchen and she was horrified to see her mother at the sink on Mother's Day. She exclaimed, oh mama, it's Mother's Day. Don't do those now. They'll wait till tomorrow." Little boy was talking to the girl next door. He said, "I wonder what my mother would like for Mother's Day." The girl answered, "Well, you could promise to keep your room clean and orderly. You could go to bed as soon as she calls you. You could brush your teeth after eating. You could quit fighting with your brothers and sisters, especially at the dinner table." Little boy looked and said, "I was looking for something a little more practical to give her on that day." Maybe you're a mother today and you fit this little story. After years of hauling children, pets, groceries, and camping gear, the family station wagon sputtered to a stop. My wife told me she was ready for a change, but I didn't realize how big a change until we got to the car dealer. She fell in love with a foreign sports car. I pointed out as rationally as I could, "Honey, this 8-passenger wagon over here has power steering, luggage rack, fold-down seats, and all for the same price as this sports car." She glared at me resentfully. She snapped, "I don't like that one." I said, "Why not?" "It's got mother written all over it." Something special about mothers, is there not? Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never reached her destination, and when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all of her outer clothing and wrapped it about her baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and well. She had mounded her body over his and given her life for her child's, proving the depths of a mother's love. Years later, the love of that mother was made public by David Lloyd George, who grew to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. There really is nothing like the love of a mother. We've experienced the love of mothers, and I want you to know something today. America needs mothers. We need godly mothers, and we need ungodly mothers, but our children need to be mothered. The Bible says that a child who's left to himself will bring his mother shame. We need for mothers to mother our children. I want to be brief today, but I want to take Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to go back and forth and I want to look at Jochebed. Our title today, A Faithful Mother in a Frightful World, really sounds like the times of today. As I was preparing the message, I began to just meditate the world we live in. We live in a beautiful part of the world in South Florida, and we live in a free part of the world in America, and I thank God for that. Amen? You ought to thank God you live in America. You ought to thank God if you're an American citizen. You ought to thank God if you're here trying to be. The very fact that you live within the oceans of this great land is a marvelous blessing. I began to think about a mother, and I began to think about all the fears that a mother goes through in today's frightful world. And I began to rehearse when Bev and I, well, I was going to say had Madison, but I didn't have anything to do with that on the latter end. So when Bev had Madison, I remember how things we never thought about all of a sudden became real important. Dangers that we never thought twice about, now we looked for. We were cautious about. I think today a mother has a lot to fear. She has illness to fear. Today, from the time a mother is found to be with child until the delivery of that child, there's great wonder on the health of that child. There's accidents. They can happen at any time. There's pressures on our children today. Pressures to do things that would hurt them. Pressures to do things that are dangerous. Pressures to fit in. Pressures to be something and to fit a mold that has been said that has to be with our children. There's immorality issues a mother fears today for her daughter, her son. There's popularity issues today. You know, in our schools, it's dangerous not to be popular. And we want our children to have friends, and we want our kids to fit in, and it crushes us when they come home and nobody wants to be with me. Nobody cares about me. They made fun of me. There's health issues like weight and eating disorders. And when you have daughters and you're cautious about that, mothers. There's psychological issues today a mother fears. There's the Barbie doll syndrome. God knows I own stock in that company, so keep buying them, amen? Good Lord, we got more Barbie dolls than you could shake a stick at. But there's the Barbie doll syndrome. You've got to fit this to be that. Let me tell you something. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you weren't made by Mattel. And you weren't made by Parker Brothers. You are fashioned by the creator of the universe, God Himself. We have self-esteem issues, depression, sense of love. You have school issues if you're a mother today. Grades, scholarships, classes. You have all kinds of things that are about this frightful world. Let's go outside of your child. Let's go to the filth of the sexual predator today. It amazes me that we have to guard our children almost like we guard our nation. You grew up, grandma, grandpa, in a different world. Oh, there was tragedy back then, but it wasn't aggressive, and it wasn't on every corner, and it wasn't where you couldn't let your kid go to the mailbox or go somewhere because they drive by looking to take our children. How wicked. It's rape. It's murder. It is a frightful world that we live in. But praise God, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. However, our title today is actually not a description of the times we live in, but I'm going to take you back 4,000 years ago. I'm going to take you to a very, very frightful world. It was as dangerous time, if not more dangerous time, to be a mother than it is today. And I'm going to show you, and we're going to look at this marvelous lady, Jochebed. We're going to see this woman who was filled with God. A woman who stood in faith. A woman who reared children. And these children changed the history of the world. My God, how we need godly mothers today. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're a mother and you're not saved, would you just listen to me for a minute? You've never been born again. Your status as a mother is magnificent. Your motherhood is reckoned by God. He has entrusted you with children. The Bible says they are His heritage. You have been blessed with this position. But I want you to know something. There's a responsibility to every woman and every man to be born again by the Son of God. And we need great mothers today, but God help America to have godly mothers. And only Jesus Christ makes that possible. And I want to look at this woman, and I want you to see her courage. Here is a woman who said, God, you will take my life, and I will allow my life and my position as mother to be used for your honor and for your glory. She represented the verse found in Hebrews 13, where she said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Shall we begin? I want you to see, first off, point number one, a mother's hour. A mother's hour. We use that phrase to describe things that only mothers go through. Mothers go through hours in their lives. There's the hour of expectancy. There's the hour of deliverance. There is the hour of nurturing. There's the hour of growing, the hour of leaving, the hour of going to school, the hour of nervousness, the hour of carefulness. And sometimes you may be here today as a mother and you're in one of those hours that can only be explained by saying it's only something a mother can go through. Most of the time, that is for the concern of our children. And children have a way of wrapping their hands around the hearts of their moms and dads. And we live and die by that. Some of you know what it is to walk through deep hours. Some of you know what it is to walk through grand hours. When they get married, graduate, have grandbabies. I mean, mother's hours. You know what I'm talking about. Let me show you what Jochebed's hour was. Would you go to Exodus chapter 1, verse number 8? Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You remember Joseph led the nation of Israel down into Egypt. He said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we, Pharaoh said. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel. Would you look at verse 15? Plan A didn't work. They were afraid of the growth of this nation. They were afraid if they went to war, the nation of Israel would turn on them. There were more Israelites than there were Egyptians, and the Egyptians were terrified. Verse 15, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stools, those were birthing stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. If you were to go through the next couple of verses, you will find that the Hebrew women did not do as they were told by man. By the way, there is a time not to obey man. We ought to obey God rather than man. This is one of those times. Pharaoh, in the rage of what is taking place, and in the rage of the defiancy of these women, the man goes mad and he says, I no longer can entrust this responsibility of killing all of these boys to the Hebrew midwives. I've got to take it one step further. And if you would look at the very last verse of chapter 1, he takes it to the ultimate step of recruitment. He enlists within his army the entire nation. Verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. What are you saying? He went to the people And he said, all Egyptians, when you see the Hebrew wives with child, when you see that they've had the child, I am ordaining you. I am deputizing you. I am commissioning you to infiltrate those homes, grab those boys, take them down to the river, and plunge them in the river for the king's sake. Interesting. A mother's hour. Not really an ideal time to have a child, would you say? I'm sure there are mothers here today, and you kind of relate to the thought of it's not an ideal time to have a child. Maybe you had a child when your career was just going. Maybe you had a child, and things weren't good at home, marriage wasn't good. You found yourself to be with child, and you weren't planning on having that child, but the child was placed there. You know what it is to have a mother's hour and you had your child when it wasn't proper time as you saw it. Maybe you're a mother here today and you're looking at the times and you say, I don't want to have a child. I don't want to have a child in this world. I don't want to put this there. I don't want that intrusion. I don't want that. And you've just made a decision that's the way you're going to go. And I want you to know something. You fear God, you need not fear man. It's not an ideal time right now to have a child in this situation. They're murdering those children. Yet, it was God's time. Now let me tell you something. The muscle of God is more than able to secure God's people. Oh God, listen to that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'll walk you real quick. It was promised that the deliverer would come and he would bruise the head of the serpent. The serpent would bruise his heel. In Genesis chapter 46, Joseph invites the nation of Israel into Egypt by the hand of God and by the will of God. There was a famine in the land and they go into Egypt and God uses Egypt to care for them. And God used Joseph being sold into slavery and being rejected by his brethren. Now he's second in Egypt and now he's in charge and God is orchestrating all of that. If you were to flip back over to Genesis chapter 50, Joseph, I want you to see what he says. In verse number 24, he said, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, I'm dying, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Joseph, to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died being 110 years old. Joseph understanding the plan of God, seeing the protective hand of God. Joseph said, boys, he's going to keep his word. I know him. And he's a marvelous God. And he's going to keep his word. And I'm going to die. And I'm not going to see that word being kept. But boys, when he comes and he takes you out of Egypt, you go dig my old bones up. You go get them. You carry me out of this God-forsaken land because I want to be with him. And God's got a plan going. In Genesis chapter 3, you will find that God comes to Moses and he says, you are the man. What are you trying to say, Pastor Hunter? Here's exactly what I'm trying to say. It was a mother's hour. It was a dark time. Imagine her with child having to hide that. Imagine every Egyptian woman with her eyes fastening on her, waiting for the birth, waiting to see what it was, waiting to take it and throw it in. And it didn't seem possible. But God said, it's my time. And what time you're afraid, you trust in me. I want you to know something. I wrote these two thoughts down. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Praise God for the omnipotency of my God. I hope you know the power of God in your own life. I also wrote this down. Praise God for what others have been through. I take great encouragement in that fact because it's a dark hour where I'm trying to raise my children. Rear my children. And it's a dark world, a frightful world for you. But I want you to know something. The God that protected Jochebed will be the God that protect me. He is alive. It was a mother's hour. You can relate to that. I want you to see a mother's hope in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. In that dark hour, you have hope. There went a man, verse number 1, of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was goodly or beautiful, well-favored, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. I want you to understand something. It is imperative that every mother and every father understand these four verses. If you take nothing else out of this message, do not miss the mother's hope. You see, this passage at first glance is really, you could say that it's a passage of fear. You use the words like hid. You see her making a bulrushes. You see them trying to conceal. You see Miriam hiding afar off. And at first glance, it looks like that it's that all of this activity was done because of fear. But see, if we didn't have the whole Bible, we wouldn't understand this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you got to see this. You can go to sleep on points 3 and 4. I'll wake you up for the invitation. But you see this point. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 23. By what, church? Faith. Say it again. By what, church? Faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now here's why this is imperative. We look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and we look at the mother's hour, and we see the aggressive hatred of these people, and we see the frightful world that is, and we just picture Amram and Jochebed scared out of their gourd, and we picture them looking around where they can hide this child, and we picture it all being motivated by fear. But the Apostle Paul comes over here in Hebrews and says, No. Make sure you understand. It wasn't fear that did that. It was faith that did that. Why, Pastor, would that be so important? Why? I'll tell you why. It is extremely dangerous to try to influence your children for godliness from a position of fear. It is extremely dangerous. Extremely. It's powerless. We try to, mothers, be careful. Be careful from raising your kids from a position of fear. Afraid of everything. Afraid of the youth group. Afraid of Christian school. Afraid of church. Afraid of this. Afraid of that. Afraid of the name. Afraid. We try to influence our kids from a position of fear, and it's powerless. Hebrews chapter 11 is not called the fear chapter. It's called the faith chapter. Now, when you reckon upon the great faith that this woman had, now go back to Exodus chapter 2 and you begin, it opens this whole passage. I mean, it's like we took a flashlight and shoved it right there. Look at the faith the woman had. Verse 1, she had faith to conceive. Aaron's already born. Miriam's already born. So she had faith to conceive a child. She didn't have to have a child. She was already a mother. Number 2, verse number 2, she had faith to see. She saw that her child was a goodly child. She saw that her child had potential. She had eyes to see that this child was given me by God, and this child could be used for the glory of God. By the way, mother, every child is given to a mother by God. And every child given to a mother by God is to be used and raised for God's glory. You say, Pastor, why did God give me children? Don't miss this verse. Here's what you're to do with your children. Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. God gave you, mother, children, so you could pull them out of your quiver with a sharp point. You could put them in your spiritual bow, and you could pull it back, and you could launch them as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. That arrow is to travel for the glory of God into the enemy of God and do a great work for God. Amen? That's why God gave you children. Not so you could put their pictures on your mantle and buy them things. That's why my children, I think, were born, though. They think they were born. And she had faith to see that. There that beautiful baby looking at her, and it wrenched her. And she saw that he was good, but she saw potential for God. That's faith. Look what else. She had faith not only to conceive, faith to see, but faith to release her child. When she could not longer hide him, verse 3, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She had faith to prepare for herself an ark, a little ark. Now, does anybody know what Noah or who Noah's ark represented? Jesus Christ. The ark represents Christ. That lady made a little ark and said, it's without me, I cannot protect you, but I'll place you in the ark. And she released her child to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only did she have faith to release him, but she had faith to receive. To receive what, Pastor? To receive what every mother would to God you had today. Peace. Peace. There's nothing like a mother's peace. By God, we haven't seen peace too much in my house lately. The baby's cutting teeth and we got screaming and crying. But oh, when the baby sleeps and it's quiet, there's peace. And till I make a mess, and in Beverly, there's no more peace. But faith to receive. Look at verse number 4. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, if you think she stood there to see if the baby would drown, you don't understand the passage. If you think that Miriam stood there because she thought the ark was going to overturn, the baby was going to die in the river, you don't understand faith. If you think that she thought anything negative was going to happen to that child, you don't understand God. Old Jochebed made that little thing, put it in there. Now let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Why? Why would she not be there? If she was operating from fear, I think she'd have been there watching. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Who's going to get him? Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm so. But she's nowhere to be found. You say, that's a horrible mother. That's a mother of faith. She released her child. She told Miriam, God's going to take care of him. How do you know, Mama? I know God. How do you know? Something great's going to happen. I think she had so convinced Miriam that God was going to do something that Miriam went down there and she wasn't looking to see if little Moses was going to drown. She's looking to see, what's God going to do? That's faith, my friends. That's the mother's hope. A mother's hope is faith in Christ. Oh, God, that we would minister to our children, not from a position of fear, but from a position of faith. A faith full mother in a frightful world. I also want you to see a mother's heart. Would you look at verse number 5, verses 5 to 10? I don't have a lot of time to develop this, so I'm just going to give it to you. Number 3, a mother's heart. She had a mother's heart that had the privilege of loving, verse 6. The privilege of self-sacrifice in verse number 9. And the privilege of a great life. Let me tell you something, mothers. What a privilege it is to love. I thank God for a mother's love. I thank God for my own mother. My own mother loved me, maybe not so much to Christ, but she loved me to serve God. My mother listens to my messages. She does it over the internet. She gets on iTunes, podcasts, and she can listen to the message. I want her to know I said something good to her about her Mother's Day today. She had a heart to love me. She didn't love me to Christ. She prayed for me. She loved me to serve my God. My mother self-sacrificed. I went to Christian school all my life. 54 miles one way. We got in a 4-door Volkswagen Rabbit diesel and we drove 54 miles, 54 miles, 54 miles, 54 miles every day. My mom worked jobs to pay tuition. Why? Because she's a mother. She had the privilege of a great life. Jochebed had the privilege of raising her child, not only for the physical, for Pharaoh, but for the eternal, for the Lord Jesus. There's nothing like a mother's heart. Child, be thankful for your mother's love. Husband, be thankful for your wife's love for your children. My God. Fourthly, I want you to see a mother's heritage. And this is so great. Here she is. Here she is in all of this hell, in all of this attack, in the darkest hour she could possibly be in. And here she is with great hope, a mother's hope of faith. She has a mother's heart to love. But God does not forget her heritage. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and I'll finish this. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's 4,000 years later, or 2,000 years later, and we're told here the fruit of this mother's reward. We're told here what takes place. We're told here what kind of child, how God blessed her. And you have a mother's heritage. I want you to listen to her son Moses, and I want you to listen to the comparison of her. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now we talk about Moses. By faith. What faith? The same faith as mom and dad had. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say that a faithful mother in a frightful world can leave a godly heritage. Here's what she did for her children. Don't miss this, mother. Above all, above everything, she taught her children, don't miss this, the way I word it, the person of Christ. The person of Christ. You see, we want to teach our kids Sunday school, and that's great. We want to teach them choir, and that's fantastic. We want to teach them social things, and that's fine. We want to teach them school-related issues, and that's fine. We want to teach them all kinds of those things. But my friend, make no bones about it. We better teach our children the person of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why? Because Christianity is a relationship with Him. Now, you want a heritage? You want your kids to serve the Lord? You want your kids to desire things of God? Teach them the person of Christ. Don't teach them the law and the rules and all that. Teach them the person. Look at the heritage that she was given. Go to verse number 24 of Hebrews chapter 11. She taught her son the person of Christ. And you see three things he desires in these verses. He desired, number one, to be God's child. How will your children be saved? Teach them the person of Christ. Teach them the grace that He has, the redemption that He has, and the love that He has. Teach them the person of Christ. And Moses said, I don't want to be called Pharaoh's son. I want to be God's son. I want my child not to be called the son of the world. I want my child to choose to be Jesus Christ, born again, a child of the King. Number two. I want my child to desire to be a vessel for God, God's vessel. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. What? She taught him the person of Christ, and he said, I don't want to live a sinful life. I want to live a life for God's glory. And that's what every mother would desire for their child. Not a life of sin, but a life for God's glory. Well, if you want a life for God's glory, teach them the person of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, in verse number 26, I want my child not only to desire to be God's child, not only to desire to be God's vessel, but I want him to desire to be in God's will. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know what he said? He said this, I could have all the wealth that Egypt has to offer, but I want to be in the will of God. There ain't a mother here that doesn't want their child to be in the will of God. There's a mothers here today that are brokenhearted. and you've raised children and they're not in the will of God. You say, Pastor, what do? I fall on my face and I begin to pray for mercy. I begin to intervene on their behalf and I pray that God would begin to teach me how when they're 30 and 40 and 50 to teach them the person of Jesus Christ. That's a mother's heritage, a mother's hour, a mother's hope, a mother's heart, and a mother's heritage. When it's all said and done, Mom, when it's all said and done, the Bible said in Proverbs 31 that your children can rise up and call you blessed. You say, Pastor, my kids hate me today. You say, Pastor, my kids think I'm a failure. Pastor, my kids don't love my God. Pastor, they'll never rise up and call me blessed. Let me tell you something. If it's in the book, it's possible. You say, well, I got to go change the way I parented. No. 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 You fall on your face before God. You allow the grace of God and the Word of God and to fill your soul, make you a woman of faith in a frightful world for the glory of God. And you pray God enable you to teach them the person of Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, He is enough. Amen? Amen. It's a great day, Mother's Day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, this message is designed to be an encouragement message. We live in a frightful world today. But I thank you, God, that you can take a woman, redeem her soul, allow her to know a man, allow her to birth a child, and fill her heart with faith. Fill her heart with the joy of rearing children. God, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done.